I guess I've used social media slightly in a less organised, structured way. It's more me, probably. And I guess even though, you know, there's less of a plan, so I have a blog, but I'm not very good at keeping up with it. So I'm more of a Facebook, Twitter person. And what I found, however, is that even though I kind of fell into Twitter especially, it has radically changed and improved the thing, the way I work, and I know that we're focusing on research here today, but I actually feel that it has helped me on any level, any aspects of my job, from my admin role as director of graduate studies to my teaching in a postgraduate only department, to, you know, all that kind of research networking. And I think the added dimension for me, which has been a great revelation, is probably linked to the nature of what I do, so it might be less relevant to all of you, but I think it gives you a sense in which you can tailor these tools to your own needs. Here at Warwick, we do cultural policy studies in a very theoretical, critical way, whereas a lot of our colleagues in British universities do a lot of applied, including commissioned research, so they have an automatic relationship with the professional field, with policymakers and politicians, and because they commission their a lot of the work. We like to have a kind of critical academic stance, but then the challenge then for us as researchers, how do you keep in touch with what's happening out there rather than just, you know, being stuck in your ivory tower? How do you ensure that your work, your policy analysis is actually reflecting what happens and reality? You know, I know some policymakers, I know some artists, some people working in arts organisations, but, you know, I see them sometimes. I see Twitter as a way for me to keep an eye on the kind of conversations that cultural professionals, policymakers are having between themselves. And that gives me a sense of whether what I have identified as the big issues in my research are also the things that are exercising these people. And also is a way for me to open a two-way channel of communications, because these people will not read my academic papers. And I don't really expect them to. So I think it's part of my job as a researcher to make sure that my work stays relevant and it really is descriptive of things as they're happening. And so I feel that level of engagement with them is part and parcel of my research work. You know, it's as important as crucial as reading the latest policy paper. And it has been incredible in many ways. I mean, I managed to get myself an invitation to Parliament by sending a slightly cheeky tweet to the newly nominated Shadow Minister, Secretary of State for Culture. Which I wasn't expecting. I was just slightly irritated by something that he was, he was saying. And the day after, I got an email invitation. Would you like to come talk to us? Because the whole thing is he just made his first speech and managed to alienate about 2/3 of the professional arts sector, and they were having such a go at him. So I was just, I was just looking at that with immense glee and just having great fun until he said, we are committed to, you know, just talking about ideas of value, which is kind of my pet area. So I just said this slightly snarky tweet, say, oh, it's really good that you're thinking of doing that. And just so that you know, some of us in UK university have been doing this for the past 15 years, so there's no need for you to start from scratch. And so I get an email the morning after from his assistant saying, come over, we want to hear from you. And for me as a researcher, who, let's face it, doesn't have regular access to advisors in Parliament, there was the excitement of getting in there, you know, in the building and see what happens, but also was an invaluable insight into actually how these policies are shaped. Quite a scary one, because actually it's a lot more haphazard and, you know, dubious than I would have thought. But as a as somebody who studies how policies are made, this was an invaluable research insight. And so, you know, you kind of build those networks, and the beauty of Twitter is that you get to people, at least I can, to people that otherwise I'd have no access to it. So I've had artists reading my papers. One of my pet arguments is that artists are consistently marginalising policy debates. So I have my own little campaign of just engaging with them as much as possible. I don't think that any of these relationships substitute for face-to-face contact, for talking to people. So, for instance, what I'm doing is because I'm organising a research workshop this summer where I am inviting a lot of my Twitter pals so I can see them, see what they look like. Because not all of them have very revelatory photographs. So you might be chatting on a month with somebody and not have a sense of who they are, where they live. So, you know, I discovered when some of these people leave by, you know, getting their train tickets and stuff. So I still think that you can't, that Twitter and social media doesn't substitute for, you know, sitting around the table with somebody over a cup of coffee and have a good chat. But it gets to a point where that kind of meeting becomes possible with people that you wouldn't have known how to get to otherwise. But then I find the social networking is also great for teaching. So I use, we teach postgraduate only, and we have Facebook groups where we sort of discuss issues that we talk about in class. Because one of my concerns as a teacher, we only teach MAs. So our teaching is very concentrated in one-year-only courses, which means that we kind of speed through the curriculum. And I always feel that there's a sense in which when you talk about very complex ideas, very complex cultural problems, the sense that you've got, okay, so you talk about cultural democracy in week four, and then you move on to the next thing, and then you never talk about that anymore. And I think that posting things on Facebook, having links, is a way to keep some of those discussions going over the course of the whole year, so that they kind of get a sense that, you know, what we talk about in week four and what we talk about in week six might come together in a new story, and it kind of makes it all come alive. And it's great for me to get some kind of feedback, because you post articles, you post online discussions, and you can tell straight away what topic engenders a really long and lively discussion, and the one that falls completely flat. So it's a much better feedback system than any evaluation module, quite frankly. And then I would also add that as director of graduate studies is a great way to help with the recruitment process and to help target the kind of students that we struggle to recruit. So a lot of my followers are clearly sort of professionals people working here, and we are particularly struggling to attract, I think most of us, home EU, especially British-based students. And so when we have scholarships, if we have skill places available on MAs, I'll just send a tweet, say, anybody fancy doing this? Tweet me back, I'll ask all your questions. And we have actually recruited that way. So, you know, there isn't, you know, and I think that's how I justify it myself as well, a couple of hours in the evening spending Twitter. I mean, you don't really sit down and tweet. You tweet and do all sorts of other things. So you do emails and whatever. And that's kind of how I justify it to myself, that I tick all the possible boxes, you know, from student recruitment to dissemination to ref impact stuff. You know, I'm doing it all in the evening. I also have a banter with people, you know, because I chat. And there's two philosophies of thought here, and I don't know actually what you guys do, but there's those people who like to completely separate the professional profile from the personal one, and who either have two separate accounts or just keep it all very professional or very personal. I'm not really good at that. I think, you know, who I am as a person, the kind of stuff I watch on TV, it kind of feeds into my work as a culture analyst. And so I am very open. I think, you know, most students know most of the things I watch on TV and what I think about the latest political but I think that's fine, because in a way I'm sort of open and clear about my sort of value standpoints in my work, so I don't see that there's a problem there. But that's, if you are thinking of getting started, that's something to think about, whether, you know, you want to expose your role professional and personal self, or whether you want to compartmentalise. And I think that's really it. So a lot less structured in your approach. Because ultimately, if I'm honest, I do it because it's fun.